Snowden is to have his personal conduct investigated by the UK's financial regulators. Jess Staley twice tried to find out who wrote a whistleblowing letter about a new employee, but was rebuffed twice by Barclays staff. Mr. Staley replaced Anthony Jenkins, who was not popular with everyone because of his efforts to clean up the bank after a number of scandals. The board of Barclays says it will cut his bonus, but wants him to continue as chief executive. Laura Noonan is the investment banking correspondent for the Financial Times. I asked her exactly what Mr. Staley had done wrong.
Barclays hired somebody who Mr. Staley previously worked with at JP Morgan. The bank then received anonymous letters making certain allegations against this individual who they had hired, an individual we understand to be a New York-based banker called Tim Main. Mr. Staley, who knows Tim Main, he then decided he wanted to try to find out the identity of who had actually sent the letters. He thought he had authorization to do that, and he says in an email which he sent to colleagues earlier today, he says that basically he felt that the person who was sending these anonymous letters was out to maliciously smear the person involved, so he thought it was his duty to get to the bottom of that. Now, of course, that does break the rules around whistleblowing, because the whole point of being able to whistleblow is that you should be able to do it anonymously. Even Barclays themselves, in their own whistleblowing processes, they say very clearly anyone who raises any issues will be given anonymity and will be protected. So for the CEO of the bank to actually try to undermine this is quite a serious thing. Now, the good news is that even though he is the CEO of the bank, he was actually unable to uncover the identity of the person, so that should at least give other Barclays employees some kind of a comfort, because even though Mr. Staley made a number of attempts to actually find out who this individual was, he was unable to.
So he clearly knew he was breaking the rules because he tried more than once.
He argues he didn't know he was actually breaking the rules, and the board of the bank accept that he acted honestly and mistakenly. So he said he didn't know he was breaking the rules. I mean, in his email to colleagues, he does admit that in his desire to protect our colleague, I got too personally involved in the matter. He says his hope was that if he found out who was sending those letters, we could try and get them to stop the harassment of a person who did not deserve that treatment. So he and the bank have argued that he didn't know he was breaking any rules. So that's somewhat incredible, because the bank has done a lot of training around whistleblowing. I mean, it's one of the key things that all banks in the UK have been trying to kind of beef up on. So the idea that the CEO himself didn't understand the whistleblowing rules that he actually presided over, that is something which does stretch credibility.
He's now facing a cut to his bonus. How much is that going to hurt?
That's going to hurt a bit, but that's not going to be the most painful thing. I mean, the cut to his bonus might cost him £1 million, £2 million, sounds like a lot to normal people, but really the main thing he's facing is a cut to his credibility and potentially a cut to his livelihood. I mean, the sanction around the bonus, that is just what the bank internally is going to do to him. The PRA and the FCA, as they investigate, they have a far broader range of censures.
These are the regulators.
Yeah, so this is, as the regulatory investigation goes on, they can actually fine him. But they can also, I mean, if they dispute the idea that he actually acted honestly, and if they found that he intentionally did this, knowing it was against the rules, they could actually ban him.
Laura Noonan from the Financial Times. So what do the events at Barclays mean for whistleblowers? Rebecca Aston advises financial services companies on their whistleblowing policies for the Chartered Institute for Securities and Investment. She told me that Barclays clearly still has work to do.
It's absolutely essential. I start my presentations often by asking whistleblowers about the boundaries and the barriers to speaking up within their organisation. And they're really, really easy things to solve. Things like people think they're not going to be listened to, or that they're going to be victimised or something like that. And it can be really solved very easily just with a few assurances from senior management that that is not going to happen.
So the board of Barclays have accepted Jess Staley's explanation that he made an honest mistake and he didn't realise that he was breaking the rules here.
Mm-hmm.
He is the chief executive of Barclays Bank. Do you accept that?
They said it was an honest mistake, but it seems the mistake was made twice. The problem with these sort of issues with whistleblowing and speaking up is that they involve a lot of human emotion, and I think maybe in this case it could have been a case of curiosity killed the cat. You do often want to find out about who's saying things about you or your colleagues, but the important thing actually is not to focus on who's saying these things, but on the content of the whistleblowing concern itself.
What do you think this whole affair tells us about the corporate culture at Barclays?
Any sort of reaction to speaking up on whistleblowing does say something about the tone from the top. And most whistleblowing policies, a good whistleblowing policy, should have assurances from the chief executive and senior management that people will not be victimised, that they can raise concerns in a safe environment, and they can do so anonymously. Now, this might send, obviously, the opposite message. So a lot of work, I think, will need to go into restoring that culture where people are encouraged to be open and raise concerns and feel supported to do so.
Are the protections for whistleblowers in the corporate culture of the financial centre of the UK, the City of London, are they strong enough?
It's something that the FCA and the PRA are looking at.
These are the regulators.
The regulators, yes. They launched some new rules last year, which came into effect for deposit holders of £250 million and above. So it's a step in the right direction. Now, this is a focus on rules and procedure rather than a culture where people are encouraged to speak up, but it's certainly a step in the right direction.
In the City of London, is whistleblowing acceptable yet, or is there still a pretty strong resistance to it?
I wouldn't say that there's a resistance. It's something that I think people still feel nervous about, but I wouldn't say that was only for financial services. Speaking up takes moral courage, no matter which industry you're working in. Wherever you are in corporate culture, you need to work on building that moral courage and saying to people, it's okay to speak up, we want to hear what you're saying, and something will be done about it.
What's the benefits of speaking up?
It allows firms to identify problems early on and fix them. It also builds a more supportive culture within an organisation.
And your message to chief executives who just feel whistleblowers are a bit of a nuisance?
I'd say listen up, don't dismiss it out of hand. If you're going to have a speak up culture, you have to have a listen up culture too. And understand that whistleblowers have had to build up a lot of moral courage to bring this to your concern.
Rebecca Aston from the Chartered Institute for Securities and Investments. So what have the markets made of the latest